Well, welcome back, everyone. Glad to have you. This Radio MVP Sports Podcast, episode something. I don't know. 179, maybe. I'm not 100% sure. I didn't look. Did go through the archives a little bit the other day, just by accident.
Mm-hmm.
And first 3 years, we were really on top of this.
Yeah, the first 3 years, you know, we were... It's amazing how much life changes in 3 years.
Exactly, you know? Exactly. It's all right.
Jobs and family and...
Yeah, it's exactly what happened.
You know, nothing bad.
Some life events, you know, and changes. And availability becomes a little bit more difficult.
Yeah.
But here's the good news, is we haven't decided to end this at all.
No, uh-uh.
And as we continue to evolve as people and move on and do new things, the idea is to continue this.
Absolutely.
So for those of you who have hung around during our hiatuses, I want to thank you. How's that? Let's get that off the top. Because it's been, you know, sporadic for the last, I say, 18 months.
Yeah, and it's tough.
And it's not intentional, by the way.
No, it's like you said, you know. Life happens, and a lot of stuff happens at once, and, you know, job changes and family dynamics and everything else.
Yeah, and this
is
a hobby.
Yeah. You know, it's not like we're making money off it. It's just,
exactly.
You know, time to unwind and
just enjoy
life.
If
money were involved, then, yeah, we'd probably be every week, every day, you know.
Exactly.
You know.
It's enjoyable.
Yeah.
So, let's start... And say, well, we have a lot to talk about because we really do. I mean, obviously, the Guardians are in spring training, and there's a few storylines developing there. We got, of course, Vogt as our new manager.
Yes.
So we'll get into him a little bit, and we'll also talk about some of the storylines of the pitching staff or the lack of movement that happened this offseason for multiple reasons. And obviously, the Cleveland Cavaliers are playing good basketball, up and down basketball lately. Yesterday night, it was funny. Here's a quick story. Two of their biggest wins this year I've missed.
Well, then you can't watch come April and May then, right?
Yeah, well, it's not even that. I had opportunities. But we watched a bunch of their games lately, and just frustration watching them because they'd fall behind or they would be consistently 8-9 points behind and could never climb that mountain. And you've seen opportunities. It seems like they just kept doing the same thing over and over again. And last night, and you know, I was talking to Mike and I says, Cavs play tonight? He goes, yeah, and I think we got to skip them. I says, eh. He goes, I just can't take the frustration. They're playing Boston, And I says, I get it. I says, you know what? That's not a bad idea to take a little break.
Yeah.
And I says, as much as I love the Cavs, and I do, I says, let's take a little break and see what happens. And, you know, I got a little scoring update in the second half, and they were down 22 points.
And you're like, well?
Well, I was like, we made a great decision. Yep. You know, big deal. Well, they win by one. They make this miraculous comeback, and they beat Boston 105-104. And I'm just shaking my head. But, you know, that's sports. You just never know on any given day what's going to happen.
NBA, we talk about all the time, basketball is a game of runs, and we'll get into it later on the college side. But the NBA especially, you know, and that was probably the biggest regular season win they've had in 4 or 5 years to not have Donovan Mitchell, to be down 22, you know, struggling of late. And to get that win, they're probably not going to catch Boston for the one seed in the East. If they wrap up the two seed, which they very well can.
Yeah.
They're probably just as good as Milwaukee, fully healthy. Probably better coached, honestly.
Yeah.
That might be the turning point of the season right there where things turn around.
And I like the idea of being the opposite bracket, too. You would only meet them if you're both in the conference finals. So, I mean,
you know,
one or two to me is not that big of a deal.
And they've been up against this year, Tim. You talk about a team that's gone through injuries. They're losing Mitchell right now for a couple games.
Yeah.
Garland, Allen, And Mo was out for a little bit.
Exactly.
Wade was out. Wade had a heck of a fourth quarter last night. Right. You know? When this team is fully healthy,
they're
fun to
watch. We
saw that going in the All-Star break, and that was the worst thing that could happen going to the All-Star break.
Yeah, you got cold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, because you won like 19 of 20, 18 of 20.
It
like,
couldn't be stopped,
no,
really. Yeah.
No, and they were the best team in basketball, bar none. And, you know, what happened to the Indians a couple years ago where they went to the All-Star break and completely halted the momentum.
It can't. I mean, obviously, when you get away, you know, things change and, you know, obviously dynamics change a little bit. But sometimes a break is exactly what a team needs. Sometimes a break is, like you said, a deterrent to a big run.
It's also only March, too, so they can get used to playing without Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah.
Because there are going to be times in the playoffs where he's in foul trouble. He's not having his best game.
Yeah.
God forbid he misses a game because of an injury or something like that.
You're right.
You got to find other guys that can step up. You got to build depth.
Exactly.
You know?
You got to have that next man mentality. Mm-hmm. And there's no question when Mitchell's on the floor how much better this team is.
He's incredible.
It is similar to the same scenario when LeBron James was here both times. Mm-hmm. You have such a dynamic player that he changes the dynamics of the game. Now, I'm not calling him LeBron James by any stretch, but he is a player who is a can go off for 50 points on any given night. And, you know, for him to score 30 is not an outrageous number. And for him to lead a team in a comeback or to hit three threes in a row or something like that in a run is not, again, uncommon. It can be he's that type of player. He can take over a game at any given
time. But he can also rebound the ball and assist.
Yeah. I mean, he's a full-rounded player. He's an all-pro for a reason. He's an all-American, whatever you want to call him in basketball.
All-NBA, all-pro, whatever you want.
Yeah, whatever.
All-star, whatever you want to call him.
Yeah, all-star, I guess, is the correct term. But needless to say, a phenomenal player.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a reason why they went out and got him a couple of years ago. And you can see it. You know, now they got to find a way long-term to keep him
up. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think one thing about the NBA – not saying it's 100% happens all the time, because it doesn't, obviously. They do make the effort to try to keep players in the market that they come through because of the way they've written the rules for the max contracts and the extra years. Mm-hmm. And that's all guaranteed money in the NBA. So
yeah, they don't want super
they
teams.
Definitely put teams in competitive balance opportunities.
Yep.
Not 100% always going to happen. A player always has the right to, you know, go to free agency and choose a smaller contract, a max contract, but less years and stuff like that, less money, you know, to move on. I mean, that is their right, and I'm not saying that it isn't, but at least the NBA has a mechanism to try to entice a player to stay where he's at.
Yeah.
And I give the NBA credit for that.
Absolutely. Adam Silver's done a heck of a job.
I mean,
you know, compared to some of the other commissioners, he's done a great job.
You know, a commissioner's job, and I've talked about this before, is not competitiveness. It really isn't. It is about promotion.
Yeah, for the owners.
And it's also about taking the bullet for the owners.
Yep, exactly.
When things go bad, they have someone to blame, and that
he's
person
the fall
is
guy,
the commercial. Yeah. Daniel Stern was the first to really be that guy back in the NBA when they needed stability in the NBA front office and, you know, in the league offices. He was that guy.
Yeah.
And he was the one who was nothing but a PR guy.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, a great lawyer who understands how to make things happen legally and in the corporate world. And he was very good at understanding what his job was.
Mm-hmm.
And the independent commissioner has gone away years ago. And Daniel Stern might have been the first one to really change. Pete Rozelle was in that combo. If you go way back into the 70s and the 80s mm-hmm. with the NFL, he was independent to a certain level, yet was definitely there for the owners.
Yeah.
And as time went by, it tilted the other way. Maybe in the 60s, early 70s, he was kind of independent
mm-hmm.
and is supposed to be.
Yeah.
But as sports have grown, that has changed. And baseball was the same way. For baseball, for a long time, had a kind of independent yep. arbiter in the commissioner,
yep.
but not anymore, and it hasn't been for a very long time. Their jobs is, you know, to protect the ownership and protect yeah. the investment of the league, and they do that. All of them do that. I think most fans don't recognize that, what their job is. But that's okay. And I don't have a problem with that. And you want to, you know, complain about a commissioner. I think most of the time there's some legitimacy there.
There are.
And I don't have a problem with that. And like you said, I think Adam Silver has done a great job with
Absolutely.
The NBA. And, you know, you can talk about Major League Baseball's and its shortcomings at times. And you can talk about the NFL and its dominance at times.
Mm-hmm.
And you can point to some of the leadership that they had. And I think right now baseball lacks a commissioner who is foresight. He's definitely a person of now.
Yes.
And I think in the long term, that could hurt the sport.
Yeah, I think what...
And I don't want to be... You know, I don't think he's a terrible...
owner?
Commissioner owner, yeah. But I don't think he's going to be a...
Commissioner, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be a guy that people are going to talk about long term as a great promoter of the game.
No,
I think he likes changes too much.
Yeah, I think he likes to tinker too much. I think he's done some good for the game.
Yes, I won't say he hasn't done good.
I mean, to me, and I don't know about you, I agree with the pitch clock.
Yeah.
I like it.
I have no problem with that.
I mean, because for me, there's no reason why games are 3.5-4 hours long.
There's no reason not to be in the batter's box.
No, let's keep the game going.
Yeah, and then that's what basically it's supposed to be.
That. Yeah. You know?
And every player and every, you know, yeah. every fan wants that. You should be in the batter's box.
Yeah,
and I don't have a
going.
Problem with that.
You know, I also think he's done a great job trying, and he, it's not done yet. They've got a long way to go. They've got to make the games more accessible for people to view.
That is probably the biggest challenge in front
of
baseball.
He's done a better job of late with ending the blackouts on the computer and the iPad stuff. Now you can listen to them on iHeartRadio on your phone or tablet.
Right.
A couple years ago, you couldn't do that.
Right.
You know, if you're traveling, it makes it easier now, you know?
Yes.
So I think that, but you've got to make it more accessible.
I agree with you
I get the Apple and the Peacock trials and all that, but.
Well, any outlet in streaming outlet is fine. If it's Apple with their game of the week or if it's Peacock with their Sunday morning games, all that's fine. That's just another outlet to me. That's no different than Saturday afternoon games years ago.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, they're just different outlets,
yeah.
and they're streaming outlets. But what get back to what you were talking about, making it accessible for fans to see games,
yes.
is probably the biggest challenge in front of baseball right now because the world has changed so dramatically in the last 10 years,
yep.
meaning television. Most people, you know, 25 years ago either had satellite or cable.
Yep.
Today, probably 50% of the people
stream.
Do not have
yep.
either
mm-hmm.
satellite or cable, but stream.
Yep.
And your streaming outlets like YouTube TV mm-hmm. and yep. Hulu TV and a few others.
FUBU and Sling
yeah,
and all
right.
that.
Many of them don't have outlets
nope.
for the regional sports
they do
teams.
Not.
So you're not going to get them. If you happen to be like a YouTube subscriber, which I previously was,
yeah.
Bally Sports is not on it.
Nope.
So it's not available to you.
And I believe they dropped the MLB Network too.
Right. And these are the things for me, made it less desirable to keep YouTube TV because I'm a sports fan.
Going up.
Right. Going up and getting less in my mind. But, so I currently do not have a outlet.
Mm-mm.
And that's disappointing. I do listen to most of the games, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's unfortunate. And I think it'll be interesting to see the new partnership with Amazon.
I think that could be a really big plus
right.
if going it's, forward.
Yeah, if it can be priced right. reasonably.
Yes.
If you're asking $20 a month for local coverage, that's a lot. And that's,
I would like to see it, say, with your Amazon Prime membership.
Right.
I don't know how much Amazon Prime is. Do you know?
About $140 a year now.
Okay. With your Amazon Prime membership, you can add it on for $10 more.
Yeah. Again. Yeah.
Let's make it accessible.
Right.
You know, for these people to watch right. the games.
Right. I know Bally's try to get their streaming network separate. You know, that Bally Plus, I think they call it. Bally Sports Plus.
And how much does that cost?
I think it's $20, over $20 a month. However, the Guardians are not part of that network.
No, they're not.
The Cavaliers are. But
the Guardians are not.
Guardians are not. So, like, for myself, I'm still shut out. Now, I usually get Major League Baseball app every year.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm fortunate enough to be a T-Mobile subscriber, which offers it for free.
Mm-hmm.
Every year, and the last 3 years since I've had T-Mobile, that's what I've used.
Mm-hmm.
And the games are delayed 90 minutes after the ending. If I want to watch it the next morning or whatever, or afternoon, I'm free, I can do that. And I have.
So you can't watch it live?
I cannot watch it live because I'm blacked out. But that's, you know, that's the next thing.
That's something they got to end to for
yeah.
me.
Well, that's where.
And the blackout stuff.
Well, like I've said before, if they just had a $10 a month charge, yeah. I would be more than happy to pay it. I think when you get over $20 a month for a subscription, you're asking a lot from
especially Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
When, let's be honest, there are fewer and fewer fans such as Michael, yourself, and me that will sit down and watch a game in April.
And October.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Most of the people just pick up around June, July.
Right.
And go on.
Right. No, you're right. You're a solid baseball fan who will watch,
yeah.
you know, every month. You know, it's September 13th and you're watching a baseball game.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's August 29th and you're watching a baseball game or you July
know,
1st.
Like me.
Yeah.
I know, like right now, if they're on TV for spring training, I'll turn it on.
Right.
You know? Like I got.
Yeah. You know, it's disappointing. The first game was viewable on the Major League Baseball app.
Yep.
But since then, all the other preseason games happened, which surprises me because, honest to God, you know, spring training games, who cares? Show them. Promote your game.
Exactly.
Promote your team.
Well, it's like
promote
somebody
all
said,
the games.
You know?
Makes no sense.
You had.
The blackout those.
For three innings last week, you had Paul Skenes, who was the Pirates' number one pick of this past year, and he faced Jackson Holliday three times. Who was the number one pick of 2022.
Right.
Fans want to watch that.
Yeah, that's how you promote your young players.
We don't care if it's spring training.
Right.
Well, no, we want to watch it.
Well, that's the thing. And that's how you promote two young players that to the rest of the America.
I wish there'd be more national games. Fox.
Yeah.
FS1.
You think about national games for baseball, and this is what baseball's chosen to go into the market of, because every game's on television, and has been for 25-plus years.
Yep.
Okay. It's become very regional.
Yes.
So if you are a New York Yankee fan living in Ohio and you have the baseball app, that's no big deal.
Yep.
You have every game. However, if you're a baseball fan in Youngstown, Ohio, you're blacked out of both Pittsburgh and Cleveland.
And you only get Cincinnati, right?
Right. And sometimes even that one's, you know, depending on who they're playing.
End.
So that's the problem. I mean, you want viewership.
But here's the problem. I know also, Tim, I have a friend at work, big Yankees fan. He's been a diehard Yankees fan since I knew him in high school.
Right.
When the Yankees come to Cleveland, Pittsburgh, he cannot watch them.
Right.
And that's wrong.
Yeah, because he's blacked out because
he's
of the market.
He's paying you that money. Yeah. Let him watch any game he wants. You know, it's just something they've got to fix.
Oh, yeah. It is definitely, I believe,
because
in 2025, we're going to see a different
system.
Because my understanding is one thing you got to give baseball credit for is through this bankruptcy that Bally went through and everything, and yes, Cleveland signed their one-year deal, whatever it was worth, I could care less.
I don't know.
It's similar to what they had this past year from what I read. Needless to say, they didn't grant the streaming rights to them. And the reason is that baseball plans to put it in-house the following season through Amazon or whatever it is. And that should give us an opportunity to figure that. And I think that's
the thing,
goal.
Tim.
But we're going to have to wait an entire baseball season to get that result. It's not going to happen this year.
Like you talked about, majority of these fans don't have cable because it's just absolutely ridiculous for cable.
Yeah.
So they're going through the streaming. To me, it makes so much sense. Make it easily accessible for a family that has streaming, a YouTube, an Amazon, a FUBU, a Hulu, a Sling, whatever all the streaming services are out there. Make it accessible because you might have an elementary school age boy or girl sit down. And
that's how you build fans.
Be like, wow, this is pretty cool. And the next thing you know, they're going to the game now.
Right.
You know? Reach out to them first.
Yeah. No, I mean, you have to build new fans, no matter who you are, whatever sport you are. And baseball needs to reach out to the younger generations and young boys and girls who are growing up not playing the game and make them fans of the game. And that's the biggest challenge facing baseball going forward is, you know.
How much is the Major League Baseball package right now for the whole season?
I think it's $150 or $199 in that range. I think it's $150. I'll have to look that up.
See, that's not bad.
That's not a dollar terrible
a game. To me,
right.
If I'm thinking about it here.
No, it's not outrageous.
You know, as a Cleveland fan, it's impossible to watch all 162. But if you catch 80, 90 games, Tim, makes it worth it.
Yeah, they have two pricing levels. Okay. Obviously, one's more than the other. Mm-hmm. If you buy it yearly, it's $150. If you buy it monthly, it's $30. So if you buy it just month at a time, it will cost you, obviously, $180 for the season. $149 for the regular season. It's not an outrageous number.
Let's use the Reds last year, for example. If you're a fan out of, say, Florida.
Oh, yeah.
And you're like, we're not supposed to be very good going into the year. But you still follow along. You still listen. And by June, you're like, hey, this team's pretty exciting to watch. Let's buy it.
Right.
You know.
Oh, yeah.
And then next year, you're more apt now as a Reds fan to be like, yeah, let's pay the $150.
Yeah, no, 100%.
You cannot have blackouts, you know. You can't do it.
Not in 2024.
No.
I mean, that's old school.
That's a way to kill the game.
Yeah.
Especially
a game that's played every day.
Yeah.
And you build habits every day by people turning on their TV. That's, you know, that's one thing that frustrates me about the Guardians over the last 10 years is their inability to pick a time and stick with it.
Yeah, you've got to pick. And,
you know, their start
three
time.
Times.
Yeah.
Three times. And again, this year, Tim, it's four or five different times.
I know.
Pick Monday through Friday start times.
I think whoever
weekend start
runs
times.
The Guardians had to go to Youngstown State at one time.
Is it? So,
because Youngstown State had the same problem for years with the football program.
Who sets it? Is it the team or is it the...
It's the team. The market in each team. For example, start times in Philadelphia are not the same necessarily than
Cleveland.
They could be. But, I mean, they choose, you know, the Philadelphia Phillies will choose to start time at home games in Philadelphia. Cleveland to me, starts, you know, and that's the, I mean, I know they changed it again this year. Well, I think they're starting at 6:40 on certain nights, and then
April through June, they're 6:10 still.
6:10.
But okay, come July, they're 6:40. It makes no sense to me.
Well, again, they're going to start Monday, 20 minutes earlier than normal.
Go Monday through Friday, 6:40. Or you know what? 6:30.
Yeah.
Let's quit to 6:40, 6:10.
I know.
Let's Monday through Friday, 6:30. Saturday,
yeah,
if you want to do one or four, but pick a time.
Yeah. Pick so they got rid of the 7 p.m. game completely.
Except on Fridays. Now they're 7 o'clock on Fridays. See, here you go again. Yeah. Yeah. April through May, or April through June, Monday through Thursday, or 6:10 or 12:10. But July, it's either 6:40 or 1:10. What are we doing here?
I don't know.
Let's go 6:30, 1 o'clock, and 4 o'clock.
You know,
that's it.
Why can't – well, this idea of – and this is my life. 7 p.m. to me was the perfect start time.
Yeah.
All season long. If you wanted to have a twilight doubleheader, you started at 5:05. You know, that was the old thing, you know. Or started at 4 if you wanted an extra, you know, hour to get it going. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know baseball got long for a long time, but we've cut the time down last year with the pitch clock and, you know, other rule changes, and that's fine. But the time of a game is just absolutely – I mean,
I think
Cleveland – the organization –
they screwed it up so bad.
Yeah, they just – again, I think it's ridiculous.
When you got five or six start times, you don't know what time the game's on each night.
I assume there's some analytics, some real thought process into it, but it doesn't seem like it.
I know the whole 6:10 stuff was, oh, you wanted to catch people coming out of work and school and all this, but – and you want to be done by in time so kids can go to the game and come home and get to bed at a decent time. Let's be honest. I don't – if I live in downtown Cleveland,
right,
and I get out of work at 4 or 5 o'clock, I want to go home and get something to eat and change, then go straight to the ballpark. That's too rushed.
That was I understand what you're saying.
But what we also need to realize is majority of people Monday through Thursday are coming from the Cleveland, Hinckley, Strongsville, Brunswick,
the greater Cleveland area. Yeah, the greater Cleveland.
They're not driving from Youngstown like me every day. You
know? It's difficult if you live outside Akron, even Akron, to make it by 6:10.
Yeah. Akron, Tim, is 50 minutes.
That's what I'm saying. You're really making a small market smaller.
Yeah, you are.
By making it a 6:10 start time. In my
opinion,
that's always
fans,
been my opinion.
Majority of your fans live outside of that greater Cleveland area we talked about.
Well, there's a number that they're not reaching because of that.
Nope.
I know we've had this discussion before. Yeah. It's difficult to make 6:10 day games.
Absolutely.
Especially.
I can't do it.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah. I mean, 7:10, you can make it.
Absolutely.
And it's only an hour, but boy, man.
And
if you're reaching, if you're leaving Youngstown at 5,
yep,
you could be parked by 6:30.
Yeah.
You could be in a parking lot, in a parking garage by 6:30, plenty of time to walk to the stadium, even maybe stop and grab something quick to eat and get in. Obviously, that must be part of the appeal of these early start times to try to prevent people from not spending money in the ballpark.
Yeah,
and I assume that's part of the reasoning behind it, because obviously, as you know, and anybody knows, you go to any type of event, the prices are much higher inside than they are outside, and that is part of the money revenue that teams make. I don't care how you do it.
And that's one thing they've got to stop, too, is the ticket prices are just ridiculous. I mean, they have got to make it.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to have a start time, say Monday through Thursday, be 6:10, 6:40, your tickets cannot be the same as they're on Friday nights or a $5-$10 difference.
Yeah.
No, like you've got to cut that back.
I don't think it'll ever happen, but I understand. I'm not disagreeing with you. I just don't think it'll ever happen.
I don't know if you, that whole right field district where they removed the shipping containers and have like the patio and all that.
Yeah.
That's not for general public seating. It's for group sales. You must have a group of 10 or more to go.
Oh, really?
How many people are you going to get on Monday through Thursday night to go up there?
Yeah. Yeah. And be considered a group.
Yeah.
So you have to buy probably ahead of time.
Yeah.
It's not like you can get 10 people from work to go over.
No.
Yeah.
It makes no sense.
I don't know. I don't market a team. I don't understand it. I mean, we get back to local here in Youngstown State, and for years their start times never make sense to me. Even in basketball this year, they moved them up to, what, 6:30?
Yeah, 6:30.
Yeah, I don't get it. But, again, there must be some type of analytics that tell them this. But, maybe I'm old school. I probably am. Don't get it.
Yeah, I don't know who you're trying to get there as your viewership, because it's not like, hey, you're trying to get in a half hour early before this game comes on. Like, it doesn't, you know, I don't understand it at all.
But talking about the Penguins, the basketball team had a good regular season. Up and down, but in the end, you got to give it a lot more ups than downs. They finished second in the league. The tournament begins this week, and here's the bottom line. You want success this year, you got to win the tournament. I don't care if they – and I look at it this way. The parity in the league is there. And that means you could be upset. You could be upset in the first round, or you can get all the way to –
Look at that bracket. And outside of Detroit.
Right.
And IUPUI. And even though Detroit took Milwaukee to the final second last night.
Right.
Outside of those two teams, you're like – I can make a case for every one of these teams to win the conference.
I think you could. Yeah.
You can sit here right now.
Right.
And make as strong of a case for 8-seed IPFW to win the Horizon League as you can as the 1-seed Oakland.
Yeah, and I will even go in and reduce it a little bit and say that anyone in the top four should be able to win this whole thing.
I agree with you.
And I'm not saying the top four will. I agree with you. The 7th and 8th seed has every opportunity to pull up an upset in this first round coming this week and then, you know, make a charge forward. And there's enough rest in between each game.
Yeah, there is.
Which is huge.
It
unlike some other
the higher seeds, yeah.
Yes, unlike prior league championships.
With a back-back,
where you would have two or three games back-to-back. Mm-hmm. And so if you did get to the championship game...
Then you're gassed.
Yeah. I remember Youngstown years ago in the Continental League, or Mid-Continental League, excuse me, that was the problem. They had to play three straight games in a row.
Yeah.
And the time they ended up against Valpo in the championship game, they were just gassed.
Yeah.
They won the first two. They made a way. You know, they weren't the highest seed, so they had it. I think, actually, Valpo was the only team that received a bye that year.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they ended up, you know, in the championship game, winning by 10 or 20 points against Youngstown and really dominating the game. Yeah. But a lot of it had to do with the legs. They just didn't have the legs to go three straight days.
Well, let me ask you this, too, because it's something that I've talked about with people and I have a strong point on it. How do you feel about the Horizon League tournament being neutral site for semifinals and championship?
I don't have a problem with that.
No?
I'll say this. More,
I understand it.
Yeah, I understand it too.
I don't like it though.
Okay. I'm 50-50 on it. I think if you win your regular season, you should have a bonus. And maybe and they shouldn't be just a first round home game.
Yeah.
It probably
maybe host the semifinals too.
Yeah. You should probably host the tournament. And
that's
that would
how
be
it used to be.
Yeah, that's the way it,
that's
used,
it
to be.
Used to be.
Right. And
I'll tell you what, Tim.
Maybe even you said they should get maybe host the semifinals. I don't really have a terrible idea. I don't think it. I think it makes it more fair, which is wonderful, but it also makes it a little more difficult to win.
I mean, to me, when I'm watching mid-major basketball in March, there's nothing better than seeing a small arena packed.
Right.
And it's been a wide opinion of majority of ESPN broadcasters at this level that come in and do Horizon League games that Youngstown State, bar none, has the best atmosphere in Horizon League.
Oh, yeah.
If you look at the crowds last night, Cleveland State got 1,100. Milwaukee got 1,300. And the other game, I don't know who the other game was. I forget who the other game. It was IUPUI and somebody. They got 900 people.
Right.
You know, it's like tomorrow there's going to be 4,500 people that are,
yes,
you know, and that's a credit to John Vargo and the athletic department.
I was just going to say, give credit. I mean, we sometimes hit the athletic department hard, and deservedly for
the last 3 years, though, basketball wise.
Well, deservedly so over the years.
Yes.
And I think they do deserve the criticism they receive. I will say this. Anytime it's a national game, they go out of their way to make sure they have fans in the stands.
100%.
And I give them 100%.
Fans of all ages,
give them all the credit in the world on national games that are at Bigley. And when ESPN has come to town, either against Cleveland State, whoever it may be, that they go out of their way to make sure they get the biggest crowd possible for those games.
And I'll say this, they do a better job basketball-wise getting students to come than they do for football.
Yeah, and that's a weird scenario.
Granted, a lot of it is not the students' fault or the university's fault. It's out of their control. With the first round of the playoffs being the first week of Thanksgiving break.
Right.
You can't control that.
No, that's
a lot of students can be like, I'm going to go home.
Yeah.
And you can't fault them for that.
No, and that's a good point, and that's always been the case.
Yeah, it's not. They're just how it falls.
I honestly think our market size has shrunk so much over the last 25 years that the idea of having 12,000 at Stambaugh is probably just unrealistic.
No,
unless you have a draw from the opponent.
Yeah, unless you're bringing in North Dakota State or South Dakota State.
Well,
but even at that, you didn't draw this year.
No.
South
and what
Dakota
I mean
State.
By a draw from your opponent, that you have a McNair-type scenario.
Oh, yeah.
That you have something of a national appeal to it.
Let me ask you
like
this.
Like when ESPN was covering McNair and came to Youngstown to do that playoff game on a Friday of Thanksgiving. And you need your opponent to have a major appeal, or a superstar player that then draws even the lesser fan, I wouldn't say lesser fan, but the distant fan to say, I'm going to go to that game. And I say that's the key.
Firmly.
And I just don't know, like I said, our market size today, you're going to draw 12,000, 15,000, 20,000.
Outside of the first 2 weeks when it's nice.
Right.
You're not doing it.
Right. Even then, I wonder, you don't have the
draw. I'll say this, though.
Let's be honest. Valpo will be on the schedule every year in football.
Absolutely.
They're never going to draw more than
4,500. 7,000, 8,000, 9,000 if it's nice.
Yeah.
At the most.
And 4,500 probably most realistic.
Yes.
You know, and I'm just being honest. And it's nothing. It's just you're not going to. However. And this is a big however. This is not a realistic however anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be. It's not no more. If you brought in an Akron, if you brought in a Kent State, you would get those big crowds because you're drawing from
a larger region,
and a fan base that would travel to see them play.
Yes.
Not 100%. Now, Kent State, again, has those big peaks and valleys when they're good and bad.
Yep.
And we're recently very bad. So
Akron, same
you know,
thing, yeah.
Are they really going to bring their fans other than family and friends? Probably not, but you never know.
I'll say this too, Tim, and I know it, and I hear it all the time from people. Oh, you got to start the games when Ohio State's not on. Yes. In theory, in reality, and in fantasy land, that's a great idea. But here's the problem. YSU start times are determined by the conference and ESPN Plus. ESPN. Those start times, Tim, are determined May and June and July.
Right.
Months before the Ohio State start times were even determined. You know? I think the only start time that you can pencil in for certain is the last game of the year against Michigan being at noon.
Yeah.
And then you start your playoff game like you have at 5 or 6 o'clock.
Right. Well, you could. Here's one thing you know about Ohio State. You know, just to use them as, since you brought that up.
Mm-hmm.
Start time on Ohio State is noon for all home games, with the exception of a national appeal.
Yeah.
Okay. Meaning if Fox says this is our 4 o'clock national game because they're playing Wisconsin, we're going to play at 4 o'clock.
Yep.
All right. Now, I'm just, you know. Yeah. Now, obviously, today with primetime, they moved games now instead of the 4 o'clock game. They move it to 8 o'clock. So
if I'm YSU.
Youngs are going to say Ohio State will have three minimum primetime games a year because you're going to get on Fox, you're going to get NBC. On ABC, and you're going to get on possibly, you know, another CBS now.
Yeah, you'll have NBC, Fox, and CBS right now.
Right.
And
so you're going to have seven home games a year in football, and probably three of them will be primetime games.
Yes.
And then you look again. Like I said, against Youngstown State, you could pencil it in noon. Against Minnesota, for the most part, you could pencil it in at noon.
Noon.
Right? You know they're going to start at noon.
You might get the 3:30 for Michigan State at Michigan State.
Right. Or Wisconsin or whoever. Yeah, I totally agree.
You know, the Penn State game at Penn State should be penciled in as a night game every year. You kind of know
and
that's going to be their whiteout.
If it's not, it's going to be a 3:30 game.
Yes.
I agree with you. Once in a while, it'll be a noon.
If I'm YSU and I don't like this, I'm going straight across the board 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock kick for every home game.
Yeah.
Except for, you know, you, as a person in marketing and advertising and TV production, I can pull up Ohio State's schedule right now and go, okay, this game, and this game, when YSU's home, we'll start at this time. Because I do believe you will get a crowd if you start the YSU game at a different time than Ohio State. Like I said, it's a lot easier said than done because YSU start times are determined by the conference and ESPN, and those are done in May and June.
Oh, yeah.
We'll know in the next couple of weeks here and month what time YSU is playing their games.
Right. Well, you know, let's talk about this YSU basketball program. I mean,
I think the last 3 weeks have been a lot better coached than they were beginning of the year.
I was going to get to that. I mean, it's I feel like it's a double-edged sword here talking about the coaching at YSU because when you get down to it, they've never had the success they've ever had.
No.
Mm-mm. Until
now.
Yeah, until now. And at the same time, you watch them, you get frustrated because
God,
you see certain things that you just don't understand or the lack of strategy at times that blows your mind away or when to call a timeout, how to set up plays.
He's like an Eric Wolford using timeouts.
Yeah.
He don't know when to use them.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it blows my mind away.
You want to let your guys play, and sometimes you want to let them play through, but sometimes you need to call a timeout. To me, Tim, I think they're a little too free-flowing. I think there are some years, like last year, you can be, let's go up and down. But this year, as we've seen, there are some guys that are out of control. They get way too sped up. They play very fast, and they get very sped up very easily. So it's time to hone it back in, and I think I'll say this. Beginning of the year, November through January, the defense was terrible. It was bad. And just recently did they insert Dines into the starting lineup.
Right.
Made the very difficult decision to take your team leader, who's been there the longest of any of these guys. Now, granted, it's a transfer-oriented team, so guys are not going to be here long. But to put Rush on the bench, because quite frankly, this year, he's not shooting the ball well at all.
No, I mean, it's just been a down year.
The last couple weeks, he's started to play better.
And this is the time of year you hope and pray that he does continue to improve.
But like you talked about, as frustrating as it is, the regular season only matters in two areas to me. Get your money games, right, and maybe, you know, sneak somebody and pull an upset or compete. And B, win enough games to get a first round bye, and you host a home game in the second round.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong.
I don't want to say.
It's become meaningless. Well,
but
basketball
when you remove
works
the NIT
way.
Auto bid for the regular season champion, it's become meaningless now, except for getting that double bye.
No, I don't disagree with any of that. I can't, because it's truthful. Basketball in general, at all levels, has become three different types of seasons.
Yep.
And what I mean by that is you have your non-conference schedule, which is to really challenge your team, as you mentioned, either A, find money-making games, and B, games to win and games to, you know, to challenge your team to find cohesiveness to get into the
Michigan, the Louisiana, the Daytons.
Then it becomes conference, and that becomes very, very important, meaning winning the conference championship is always a goal, no matter if it – it's always a goal, period, okay? But reality is what you really want to do is be playing your best ball this time of the year.
Yep.
And like you just said, it's all about seeding, because in the end, without having a fallback like Youngstown had last year with the NIT – winning the regular season championship, you don't have that nut, you know, that thing in your back pocket.
No,
it's all about the tournament. 100% is about seeding in the tournament.
Fair and unfair as that is,
it's just. But it works that way in every conference.
Yeah, it does.
Every conference in basketball works the same way, unless you're an independent, which I really don't know of any.
I don't think they have basketball independents now.
Yeah, you can't not think of it that way.
I'll say for the, you know, the ACC, the Big Ten, the Big East, it's not as important. It's still important.
Right.
You want to win conference games. But the fifth place team in the Big 12 sure is going to make the NCAA tournament.
Well, that's the difference, though. I mean, you're talking about the Power Five conferences.
But
yeah.
The mid-majors, your season comes down to three or four games.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
As fair as it is, or unfair it is, it's three or four games.
You're playing your 25, 28 games during the regular season for this time of the year. Yeah, this is it. It's a lot of ways, and I never thought about this before, a lot like the high school in Pennsylvania. And what I mean by that is, in high school in Pennsylvania, you have the non-conference schedule. To get ready for the conference games.
Yep.
And you basically have control over all that scheduling.
Yep.
But the conference game scheduling is all done by the conference, and you don't have anything control when your home games or who you're playing, you know, but it's in the conference.
Yep.
However, what is different in high school over there is you have to qualify for the playoffs.
Yep.
So, meaning if there's an 8-team conference, they call them sections over there, but eight teams. The top four will make the playoffs. The bottom four season's over.
They're up,
Okay, so that conference has value.
And I think...
And then you get into what's called the regional conference, regional championships, was like the Whipple and the District 10 and all that. They're separate. And those championships mean something because they 100%. Win something. Okay, and they get automatic bids to the state championships, okay? Getting back to what we're talking about at the collegiate level, you play all season long for seeding.
Yeah.
Then to have a chance to make a three-game run
yep.
to win a bid to the NCAAs. Because the idea of the years gone by where you can get two out of a mid-conference are gone. They don't happen often. They don't happen often.
Outside of maybe the Atlantic 10.
Right.
And maybe once every 5-6 years, Missouri Valley.
Yeah, maybe one out in Washington in that area.
The West Coast Conference?
Yeah.
You'll get Gonzaga and St. Mary's and that's
right.
Yeah.
Exactly. For the most part. But those are higher level.
Yeah, I don't consider
consistent mid majors have made big runs. But for the most part, years ago, there wasn't uncommon for the Horizon League to get two teams in.
The women's basketball issue in the Horizon League will get two teams in if Green Bay does not win that conference.
Yeah.
You know, and look.
And that's the difference is
as much crap as the Horizon League took when Valpo left and Loyola Chicago left.
Right.
And UIC left, it was like, oh, man, this is going to be ugly.
The big markets
the
left.
The last couple years, it's been really good basketball. This conference is a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, it is. And your biggest market is probably Oakland
or Green
Detroit.
Bay.
No, Green Bay is smaller than Youngstown as a TV market, yeah. So it's about the same size as Youngstown, if not a little smaller.
So Oakland and Green Bay are...
Milwaukee would be a little bit bigger. Yeah. I would say your top three market size.
Dayton,
would
maybe?
I'm not sure about
that. Wright State?
Yeah. I'm not sure about that. I think Dayton University overshadows Wright State.
Oh, absolutely.
So
yeah.
I'm not sure about that. Mm-hmm. But your market size is decent. I'll give it that. But I would say Milwaukee, Detroit, and Oakland because that's a suburb of Detroit itself. So you got those two schools in the Detroit area. And who else? Cleveland State.
Yeah, Cleveland State. You know, but if you include, you know, you could group like Northeast Ohio and go Cleveland State and Youngstown State and Southern Ohio and Kentucky.
Right.
Dayton, Northern Kentucky. Then.
Yeah, and you do the same thing with Detroit Mercy.
Detroit
and
Oakland.
Oakland
and everything like that.
There's no question. And you do the same thing with the Wisconsin teams and Green Bay and Milwaukee. And I'm not disagreeing with you there. Mm-hmm. And I think that is true. I think what you just mentioned about the Horizon League, when it did lose the Chicago market, it did lose, you know, a perennial team that has made the tournament in Butler, you know, 10 years ago,
that's right,
and
I forgot
Valpo
about Butler too. Yeah,
they've taken a hit in their prestige where they used to be, but the actual competition in the league is real good. I think the parity of the top 6-8 teams is pretty good. I think you could say the top 4 teams is very good, meaning that on any given day, all 4 teams could lose to each other.
Yeah, it's not like...
It's not like there's one
if
dominant
you're watching
team.
A league,
it's not like what Butler used to be or what Valpo used to be where, okay, you're playing for second place.
Yeah.
That's not necessarily the case.
If the fifth place team in the Big Ten beats the first place team, that's an upset.
Right.
If Northern Kentucky, which beat Oakland and Youngstown this year, that's not really an upset.
Right.
But you look at this bracket, though, Tim, and... I want to do it. I did it last year, and you can do it this year. There's no reason this team cannot win the Horizon League.
I totally agree. They just got to play three straight games. They got to play three quality games in a row. They can't have a mental lapse.
And this team,
yeah,
like you said, no mental lapses, fully engaged for 40 minutes. There's no reason they don't win this conference.
Yeah. I mean...
And I'll go this far.
Yeah.
Youngstown State playing at their best, playing really good offense and just good defense. Not great or locked down, just good defense
and, that's what
and
they're
really
capable
good
of.
Offense. There's no reason they don't win this league. And honestly, there's no reason they don't win this league by double digits each game. I know it's a tall ask.
Yeah, double digits.
But you look
a lot.
At it though, Tim. Double. I mean, they had Oakland down 14 and 15 points both games.
I was going to say,
you know,
the two Oakland losses were heartbreaking and just absolutely. At least one of them, you can even say, should never ever happen.
But
again, you're going to need.
Back on it.
But let's go back to what we were talking about earlier. One is it's more than just what the athletes do on the court. It's going to be Calhoun and the decisions he makes during the game that puts his team in position to win.
And
this time, this is where you grade him at the highest
level. If you look at this, and one of those losses to Oakland actually ended up benefiting YSU, in my opinion. It's not great to lose. You don't want to lose. I don't want anybody to say, oh, that's a good loss. There's no such thing as a good loss.
Right.
That's bullshit. Okay? Excuse me, bull crap. Lindsay's less than she doesn't like when I swear. Okay. But I'd rather play Cleveland State than IPFW because the IPFW is a matchup nightmare for one.
Yes, it is.
So let Oakland have their hack at them, and then we can worry about them in the semifinals. I'd rather have Cleveland State come here tomorrow night. Because you should have beat them the second game. You kicked the crap out of them the first game.
In Youngstown, the game in Cleveland, I just thought it was just, again, home court advantage.
And you were up 8-9 in the second half in that game.
Yeah.
But it's still tough to win up. You lost the last 2 years up there.
And they just don't win there that often. And that's the same thing. Cleveland State doesn't win in Youngstown as often as they think
they
probably
should. And they don't compete either.
Right.
They don't compete.
Right.
So, like you said, it's now about the coaching.
It is. This is where you're going to judge Calhoun
mentally
at his highest.
And schematically.
Yeah.
As much because last year.
Can you make the plays coming out of timeouts that helps your team score?
And last year, that Northern Kentucky game was decided by two things. A, they were just better on the boards.
Yes.
YSU got better on the boards this year. So he went out and identified that. He got four really good rebounders. Well, three, because I think Dyant has come along to be a really good rebounder. Add in Reed and Burns. But the other thing that really hurt them last year, Northern Kentucky had been there, done that. I mean, that was nothing new for them. That was like, all right, you know, let's go play Youngstown State in the semifinals and move on. That was a big deal to us. And we were so tight coming out of that, you know, game. It took us 25 minutes. We got settled in, and we got down 15, 16, 17 points and had a miracle run late to even make it competitive. We ran out of gas. You know, keeping your players in check emotionally is as important as it is who to start, subbing in when, you know, what sets the call and all that. But it's going to come down to, like you said, Tim, can this team be locked in for 40 minutes?
Yeah.
Because if they can, there's nobody in this conference that will beat them in the Horizon League tournament.
I have one dream. That's one dream, and I've been having it since 1980, is this team being called on selection day, even though you know you qualified.
You still want that.
Yeah, I want that. I hope it happens. I'm 57. I'm starting to get concerned that I won't see it.
This is getting a lot like the
Guardians winning the World Series.
Yeah, these 2 years might be your guy's best shot to see him.
It's a lot like the Guardians.
You know?
I'm getting to the stage of my life. I'm starting to get concerned that I may never see it.
I'm getting concerned. I'm 33 for the Guardians.
I like your odds better than mine.
I know, right?
But yeah, I'm starting to get concerned.
This is your best shot.
I think so too. I really do. I don't even think this is the best team they've had.
No.
I think last year's team was actually a better team.
Yes.
But you know what? This team has different players in different positions that have made a big difference.
This team has a little more dog in them, I think, than last year. I think they're a little tougher. But you also got to look too. Northern Kentucky's down two players. If they got those two guys back, and that's a lot of ifs, they're probably one or two in the Horizon League. But, hey.
It is what it is.
Right, you play the games.
Yeah.
And
You have to play your best. You have to be focused.
The next three games are on Jared Calhoun.
Leadership is going to play a big part of the next three games.
And Jared Calhoun in tournament games, not very good.
No.
At YSU and at Fairmont State, because those Fairmont State teams that went to the title games got blitzed.
Yeah.
So.
Well, again, I mean,
he's
my
done
biggest
a better job
criticism
the second half of the year
of Calhoun. And, you know, my brother and I have talked about this many times, is his in-game decisions.
Yeah. Yeah.
One thing
I think
are so critical for your best coaches, and you'll see this throughout the I don't care what game you're watching, some of the top coaches, their use of timeouts and their use of design plays coming out of timeouts or out of breaks, you know, especially when you get the TV timeouts and all that. So you got a lot of breaks in college basketball.
And those need change. But we can talk about that
in
a later podcast.
But you can design certain styles of plays and options. And you can get your
have that.
Yeah, but Youngstown doesn't seem to have good style. What amazes me is they can't handle the press.
No, God, no.
And that blows my mind away.
Because that's something you should know. I mean,
And the soft
and maybe
passing.
For me, it's frustrating because my mom coached high school basketball, coached into the tournament many years, and she taught me at a young age, it's very easy to break a press. And how often do you see teams that cannot – you see it every week,
yes,
Tim, that cannot do it.
I know.
And it's like
– it's fundamental.
That in the zone.
Yeah.
It is so easy.
Give me a high post in the zone.
Give me my best passer at the zone and a decent shooter and let him go.
Yeah.
It's almost get the ball to half court against the zone and let's play 2-on-5.
I know. It certain teams run great zones, and I will give them a lot of credit how they do it. They're good at it.
Syracuse zone is really good.
Well, yeah,
good.
They were – and you go back in the day when Temple? Temple, yes.
Kentucky zone, fully healthy last year. That's really good defense.
Yeah. But you know what? It really comes down to how can you penetrate? Can you get that high post involved? And you have to continue to move offensively without the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, again, I think this year, the microcosm is on Jared Calhoun to see how he handles in-game decisions. I mean, this is the most successful run I've ever seen Youngstown State basketball have.
Mm-hmm.
You have to go back to the Mike Rice days to find something similar. And we're talking early 80s and 2024. So it's been a 40-some year span here.
But my
whole point is, I think next time we talk, we're going to be talking about Jared Calhoun and how he handled this.
Oh yeah, this is on
the
situation.
The players are the players.
They are what they are. If you don't know after 32 games, 31 games,
right?
Then shame on you.
Yeah, you got to find a way to get the most out of them.
You know, the thing that is big to me, it's not going to be on Jared Calhoun. It's like Bob David used to say, a lot of it's not about the X and the O's, it's about the Jimmies and the Joes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know? And I don't think I've ever seen a YSU team start a game, every game, as good as they do this year.
Yeah.
Because
they come out on
if
fire.
They're not winning by 10, 12 points in the first 5-6 minutes, they're right there or up 1 or 2. Maybe occasionally Wright State, they get knocked back. But it's going to be about how do you handle that first initial run by the opposing team.
Yeah.
And this team, more than last year, is so emotionally charged. How do you get them to play within themselves?
Yeah. That's all on the coaching staff.
Yeah, it really is.
You have to manage the personalities on your team.
They're going to win or lose this Horizon League tournament based on the coaching staff. It's not about the players anymore. Because at this point, your offense, and like you've made mention, the three-point shooting is not very good.
No.
But if you look up every night, 75, 80, 85 points, and they're shooting 30, 33% from three.
Well, again, they have kind of the same philosophy that that Ralph Blundo has. If I have more shots than you,
I'm going to make more. Yeah.
I'll score enough points to win a ball game. I'm putting in a very simplistic term here.
It's not basically quite running gun. If I have more plays, I'm going to score more points.
If I'm taking 15, 20 more shots than my opponent, I'm probably going to score more points. Or I'm going to stay in games when I don't shoot well.
Yes.
All right?
Yep.
The problem with Youngstown recently is they haven't really outshot their opponent by that number.
Nope.
And the reason you don't get that number is A, you have to get rebounds, and B, you have to get turnovers, and C, you have to be successful on some easy transitional points. And Youngstown at times lacks the ability.
Yeah, they don't get easy baskets, really. Yeah, and I'll say this, and maybe I'm wrong. I think the move of inserting Dimes in the starting lineup was twofold. Let's get the pressure up Brandon Rush. Let's slow him down, calm him down. Because like I heard a coach last week say, and I think it's the Ohio State women's coach, it doesn't really, yes, you want to start. It means something. But to me, who's on the floor the last 4 minutes of the game and who plays the most minutes?
Yeah.
Because you can have a starter play 10, 15 minutes, but a bench guy come off and give you 20. So I think the move of putting Rush on the bench, let the game slow down, let him see it. But I think the move of putting Dines in the starting lineup was made for these three games. Because in March, as you know, and they talked about it on the NBA broadcast last night, when it means something, no matter how fast you want to go, the game slows down.
Yeah. No, you're right. And I'll say this about Dines. What he does is he brings a defensive effort to the game that Youngstown has not had in many years. This is a shot blocker and somebody who can alter shots. The key for Dines to be successful is to stay out of foul trouble and not make don't commit the foul that is unnecessary. He's 7'3". He's just got to raise his hands and hold his position. Yep. He doesn't have to jump. I mean, there are times you're going to. I get that. But for the most part, what he needs to do is hold his position, raise his hands up high, and make them alter their shots. And he'll get
his
blocks,
straight up
too.
And down.
And he'll get his blocks from different angles.
Because there's not a team in the conference that has a seven-footer like that.
No.
There's not.
No. And that's the thing. You know, Youngstown has two of them.
Yeah,
And they can use them both this time of the year.
Yeah,
you know, but we'll see how they. But yeah, he's a difference maker because he could change the inside game. Now he's not the strongest guy in the world. He can be moved off the blocks. He can be put out of position.
But
however, like you just were about to say, he also does what he. When he does it properly, he puts himself in the shot. What I hope he becomes is a better rebounder.
When he gets in rhythm, he reminds me as a defender of a shooter. When he gets in that rhythm, he takes 5 or 6 minutes of stretch of a game, and he completely flips it. It was the Wright State game in Youngstown State. Zorgrov did it down there.
Yep.
He completely flips the game. The Milwaukee game up here, he did it to him.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. That's what
he
defense,
rebounds
this
ball,
is what I'm talking about.
High.
This is what I'm talking about. Anytime you can take a defensive play and turn it into points offensively, even if it's not a fast break play, that is a huge turner event because you're denying two here and potentially getting two or three on the other side. Those are big movements. You get six of them a game, that's huge.
Yep.
And it goes beyond that. I mean, you're going to need Burns and others to come through, and you're going to have to be able to come
You need Ziggy Reed to be Ziggy Reed.
Yeah, you do. You know? Yeah. Let's face it. This team revolves around Ziggy Reed. Without it,
And if he plays well, they're probably going to win.
Yeah, they're going to have the best shot.
Yeah.
And that's what matters because he's their scoring option from outside and inside.
Yep.
He's the guy who can actually get Burns involved when he's on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
He's the guy who will make the point guard kind of stay within rhythm within himself.
Like, hey, calm down, dude.
Yeah. I mean, he's the leader of this team.
Yep.
And he's going to be the one I'm looking for to make the biggest strides the next opportunity. And that starts, tomorrow night. So we'll see exactly what happens. And
yeah, this is on Jared Calhoun, though.
It is. It's 100%.
Ultimately, this is on Jared Calhoun.
The timeouts and the use of them and how he designs plays and how can they, please God, please be able to handle the press.
Yeah.
Because they can't.
It's on film now.
Yeah. Well, everybody knows. Yeah,
you know?
You had 10 days to practice.
If I'm Jared Calhoun.
Not quite, but you know.
If I'm Jared Calhoun tomorrow night, I'm going strictly zone. Because Cleveland State is not a good three-point shooting team.
Yeah, you want to challenge them to see if they can hit that shot. I'm not going
to
disagree
with
you.
They want to bury you down low with Anaruna and Louder and all the other guys. Make them shoot me out of the zone. I'm not saying stay in the game the whole game. Mixing some zone.
Press
here and there.
I think the microscope is on Jared Calhoun.
Yeah.
And we're going to see.
This is where you're going to see if the Power Five conferences actually want Jared Calhoun.
Okay. You're going to see if you're just going to find out where he stands as a basketball coach.
Yep.
We know he's a good recruiter.
Yes.
We've seen that the last couple of years, even the last 3 years. We've seen him bring in talent, including Dines, who's a freshman, and others.
The kid they got coming in next year.
They got some talent coming in, and you need that. I mean, in basketball, there's higher turnover rate than any other sport.
Mm-hmm.
So you really got to be, in the classrooms, in a sense.
Yeah.
In the high schools, in the transfer protocol, the whole thing, and find new ways to bring in talent for your team. As you mentioned, they're short stays. But most mid-market teams are now.
Yeah.
But most mid-majors, you're going to find that.
He's been here longer than he probably thought he would.
Quite honestly, today, if you're a quality coach, you can make a good living in a
mid-major market,
a mid-major basketball program, and be there 10, 20 years.
Yep.
And then make that move on. Not saying that it has to move on.
No.
But we'll see. But we're going to find out on an X and O's level how he gets his Jimmy and Joes to play.
Yeah.
And that's really important in tournament time.
Yeah, it's on Jared Calhoun. Starting tomorrow night, 7 o'clock on, it's on Jared Calhoun.
Yeah. He's going to play a big storyline.
Yeah.
In the Horizon Tournament. Can he do something that's never been done before? Lead this Penguins team to the NCAAs. And that's, look, all season long we build up to this moment.
Yeah, this is it right here.
This is where you prove
your
worth.
Three games, one at home.
This is where you prove your worth, and this is where you prove your bonuses.
Yeah.
I mean, his bonuses are at this time of the year. Playing in one of the secondary tournaments is not ideal for me.
Once you get to a point and you're not there yet.
The CIT is just not important to me.
Once you get to this point where you're consistently a top 2-3 seed, hosting home games, playing the semifinals. The NIT and CIT, sorry, no way.
You know what? The CIT was nice to get in a postseason tournament.
Yeah, now I'm done with that.
NIT was
that was a lot of fun.
Well, it was a phenomenal experience, and it is a wonderful historical
tournament. Yes.
And to say Youngstown has played in it, Big kudos to them. But in the end, you have to break that glass ceiling, and you have to get into the NCAAs. I don't care if they're playing in Dayton in the first four.
I don't care.
No. I just want that Sunday selection show
to pop up
and
they pop up
saying Youngstown's playing whoever that is, and Youngstown's the 14th seed or the 15th seed or the 16th seed, and this is where they're going to be at. I don't care. Because that's where they're going to be. They're not going to be better than 14, and they're not going to be, you know, I mean, I'd be shocked if they got better than that. But needless to say, before they can, they got to win the next three games. They got to win and move on the next three games.
Yeah.
And
survive tomorrow night. Yep. Worry about tomorrow night. And then tomorrow night, if we survive, we'll move on to
the semis
next Monday. So
yeah, that's exactly it. I mean, wow. That's an hour and 15 minutes, and we talked about baseball, but not about the Guardians. So we can save that to next week.
I think next week, yeah. Absolutely.
With training camp just kind of getting into this groove. We'll talk about the outfield and then everybody else.
Some nice players that are making a name for themselves. You didn't think so coming in. I'll say this real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's nice to see Bieber and McKenzie have two solid outings. Numbers to me don't mean anything
right now.
Because of the, you know, but Bieber and McKenzie both threw four combined innings. They were healthy, reported no soreness afterwards. They look good, but I'll say this. The more and more I read about Stephen Vogt, the more and more I like him.
Well, I'm an open book on him. Meaning I have nothing but high expectations because I'm a Guardian fan, and I've heard nothing but great things about him.
The two things that I've read,
and I'm looking forward to the season. It's going to be a different feel.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different, you know, it's a different coaching staff. Yep. So it's a brand new opportunity. You know what? We'll just wait and see how the season develops. Yep. I don't want to judge him today. I'm not going to try to judge him all season long.
No, he can't be judged.
I will
this
criticize
year
him at certain times, and I'll praise him at certain times.
Yeah, it's,
but
yeah.
I don't really have an. I won't have an opinion of him. I'll say this, and I've said this before. I have faith in those who run the organization to make good quality decisions on people, and I think they did exactly that when they hired.
Yep.
Stephen Vogt. And we'll see where this team lies. I mean, it has talent enough to compete in the Central and win it. I'm not saying they will. They have the talent to do it. A lot of things have to fall in place. Obviously, we can, you know, this team lacks same things as lacked the last three, four years.
Yeah.
So, and we can get into that another time.
I'll say this, though. You better beat them this year. Because what's coming up in the pipeline in the next couple of years, we always know the pitching is going to be there. And they have pitching there. But there are some offensive players that are starting to make a name for themselves that are really, really
well,
nice to watch.
Let's hope, because they need some additional sticks in the lineup.
Yep.
You can't have an outfield that hits seven home runs next year. That's all I'm
going
to say.
Like I've said, they've tried to win baseball games with singles and doubles and all that, and that's fine.
You can't.
But it's like trying to win a football game with the triple option.
Yeah.
You can do it. But to win at an elite level, you cannot do it.
Right. I totally 100% agree. Yep. You can't have an outfield that hit a total of 15 home runs for an entire season. It's
now, you,
not
you're
possible.
Right. Soto should have that by June or July.
Yeah.
I mean,
August 1st, somebody in your outfield should have 15 home runs. How's that sound?
Yep.
All right. With that in mind, I am Tim. He is Anthony. This is Radio MVP. Glad to have you here. Wish you all a wonderful good night. Remember to tell your family, friends, and enemies about Radio MVP.